Our first reading this morning comes from Isaiah 45, verses 1 through 7. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches, hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know, from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. Here ends our first reading. Our psalm today is Psalm 96, verses 1 through 9 and 10 through 13. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless the name of the Lord, proclaim God's salvation from day to day. Declare God's glory among the nations and God's wonders among all peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, more to be feared than all gods. As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols. But you, O Lord, have made the heavens. Majesty and magnificence are in your presence. Power and splendor are in your sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord honor and power. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due the holy name. Bring offerings and enter the courts of the Lord. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before the Lord all the earth. Tell it out among the nations. The Lord is King. The one who made the world so firm that it cannot be moved will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea thunder and all that is in it. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood shout for joy at your coming, O Lord, for you come to judge the earth. You will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with your truth. Our second reading comes from 1 Thessalonians 1 through 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kinds of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. Here ends our readings for today.
Our gospel today is from Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22, the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. Benjamin Franklin wrote to a friend in 1789, a saying that is still popular today. "In this world, nothing can be certain except death and taxes." Again, the adage of the more things change, the more things stay the same holds true. Here in 2020, we have our fair share of taxes to pay, be it property tax or income tax or GST and HST or a hotel tax or a food tax. I could go on and on. The folks who lived in antiquity also had their fair share of taxes to pay, consisting of temple taxes, land taxes, and custom taxes. But there is also another tax that had to be paid only by the Jewish citizens in the Roman Empire, and that is the tax that is spoken of in our gospel reading today. The tax was called the imperial tax. It was a yearly tax of one denarius that was paid to the Roman emperor by the Jewish people to support the Roman occupation of Israel. And it was administered by the Jewish authorities. It was a humiliating tax to have to pay because they were paying to allow the Romans to oppress them. The tax also created a burden for poor Palestinians who were struggling to survive. So not only was the tax humiliating for Jewish citizens, but paying it also broke the first two commandments, because the coin was engraved with a picture of Tiberius Caesar, August son of Augustus and high priest. Tiberius claimed to be of godly descent and expected to be worshipped. This was worshipping idols at its finest. Yes, authority, taxes, and oppression were alive and well in antiquity. So that is your cultural antiquity lesson for the day. Let us get back to our reading this morning. Jesus is still in the temple when he is confronted by the disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Jesus had just arrived in Jerusalem, the city of power, both religiously and politically. He had entered and cleansed the temple and criticized the religious leaders. He continued to frustrate them so much that they believed that he needed to be stopped. So the Pharisees and the Herodians, who did not get along at all, came together and decided that they were going to try and entrap Jesus. Then he would be arrested, and the problem would be solved. They began to converse with Jesus in a condescending tone, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" They finally think that they have Jesus just where they want him because there is no correct answer to the question. If Jesus says yes, he sides with the Romans, and he is considered a traitor by the religious authorities. If he says no, he is a rebel, and he will be arrested by the Romans for treason. It is a no-win situation for Jesus. But we all know this man called Jesus and how he turns things upside down. His response is another question, asking them to show him whose head is on the coin that is to be paid. And here is the proverbial mic drop moment, once again, because once the Pharisees pull the coin out of their pocket, they admit that they are paying the tax. Hence, Jesus calling them hypocrites. The disciples of the Pharisees, by carrying and producing the coin, are showing loyalty to Tiberius. They are neglecting their true citizenship and their true belonging in the kingdom of God. When Jesus cleansed the temple earlier in Matthew, he was renouncing the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. Jesus was not abandoning Israel. He was reiterating his commitment to the covenant of God. And this is the same action that Jesus took in the temple when he stated that one needed to give to the emperor what is the emperor's, and to give to God what is God's. Jesus was not claiming that one did not need to pay taxes. We all need to pay our taxes. But one only needs to pay what is due and no more than that. But what about giving to God what is God's? What exactly does that mean to us as Christians? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 states that each of us is created in the image of God. Each of us are beloved children of God, who in the gift and promise of our baptism is given new life each and every day. God is asking us to come to him, to come to him in faith and love, knowing that there is nothing we can do to shed our identity as beloved children of God. God wants us to live abundantly with ourselves and with one another. God wants us to love our neighbor just as we have been loved. The identity and values that we share as Christians empower us to stand with those who cannot stand on their own, and to be the voice of those whose voice has been silenced and broken. God comes to renew us and lead us through the complexity of our lives. God comes to us through the brokenness and anxiety, through the joy and the sorrow, through the change and the doubt, reminding us of God's faith and love for us. Yes, let us give to God what is God's. Now, you may not agree with me, but I have to agree with Jesus about paying taxes. We must pay them, as it is what keeps our country running. So even though we grumble and complain, we too can rend to the government what is the government's. But we also have the joy and promise of giving to God what is God. What is God's? And that is ourselves, our perfectly imperfect selves. And in doing so, we give witness to God's amazing works and presence in the world. We give witness to God's amazing love, and we give witness to God's amazing grace through the life, death, and resurrection of his only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Pharisees and the Herodians left Jesus that day amazed by his words of equality, impartiality, and the love of God. We too can be amazed by the wondrous power of God in our lives. Let it be so. Amen. Our hymn of the day is God is Here from the ELW number 526. There is also a YouTube video that you can watch.